Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus says to his disciples, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And so Jesus sent his disciples out to minister and to preach. They were to become apostles, which means sent ones. And then Jesus breathed on them and he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Jesus has given the apostles the office of the keys. And this is the special authority to which Christ has given to his church on earth to forgive the sins of repentant sinners and to withhold forgiveness from the unrepentant so long as they do not repent. Our gospel reading is from John chapter 20, is also a scripture reading that is read at a man's ordination into the holy ministry. As such, it is good to examine what the pastoral ministry is. As we examine the scriptures this morning, we will learn that the pastoral ministry is not just about the man in particular, but it is all about Jesus. The pastoral ministry is Christ's ministry for the sake of his people and his church. On Good Friday, our Savior hung on the cross and atoned for the sins of the whole world. And on Easter, our Lord victoriously arose from the grave and proclaimed peace. God's peace is a peace which the world cannot give. A peace between man and God is a peace knowing that sins are forgiven. On Good Friday, Jesus became the curse for mankind, and he endured God's judgment and wrath against our sin. But on Easter, God freed us from his wrath and his judgment for Christ's sake, and he declares us not guilty. Jesus' death on Good Friday had to take place because death is the required penalty for sin. The Easter resurrection of our Lord also had to take place because our sin has been removed. On Good Friday, Jesus was delivered up for our trespasses and sin, but on Easter, Jesus was raised for our justification. We are the recipients of God's divine mercy because of Jesus' work on the cross. We don't go around saying that Christianity is true because of our works, but rather Christianity is true because Jesus died and rose again. And this is the truth that is attested in Holy Scripture and witnessed by those who saw his death and his resurrection. St. John writes, "These things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." The Christian faith is all about Jesus, his perfect life, his atoning death, and his resurrection for us poor sinners. Jesus is both true God and true man. He is the world's only Savior. And Jesus is at the heart and the center of all Scripture, the Old and the New Testaments. If you do not know this essential truth about who Jesus is and what he has done and what he gives us in his word and sacraments, then you do not know the one true God. What kind of Jesus do you want? If we examine our hearts, what we want is a powerful Jesus, a Jesus who is popular, not a Jesus who humiliated himself and came to earth as a man and was crucified and died on the cross. Perhaps you want Jesus to be your life coach, or your therapist, or buddy Jesus, or a political savior, or maybe a moral example. You want Jesus to give you advice for daily living and help you overcome your earthly problems. You want him to approve of your sin and tell you it's okay. You do not want a Jesus who suffered and died. Likewise, what kind of pastor do you want? If you look down inside yourself, you would like a pastor who preaches a message that is spiritual, upbeat and emotional and moving, rather than law and gospel. Perhaps you would like a preacher who preaches messages on moral reform and gives you good advice and rules for living instead of a message of repentance and forgiveness. And you may say inside yourself, well, God's grace is helpful, but not necessary because I believe I am good enough. You want to engage in your own private spiritual journey. You may ask, who needs the church or the pastor? There are plenty of resources on the internet. Why, I can even watch a church service on YouTube and preside over my own communion altar. This voice deep within ourselves is none other than old Adam. Old Adam does not want to fear and trust and love God above all others. Old Adam wants himself to be the center of Christianity rather than Jesus Christ himself. God has said in his word, there is none righteous, no, not one. And none of us can reconcile ourselves to God. None of us on our own accord can earn heaven. None of us can appease the wrath of God, which demands the price of death for sin. None of us can save ourselves. During his earthly ministry and life, Jesus perfectly kept the law. And when he spoke with authority because he is true God and true man. For 3 years, the disciples watched and learned from Jesus as he shaped them for apostolic office. And finally, Jesus laid down his life for the sin of the whole world. Jesus bore the wrath and the judgment of God in our place and on our behalf. Jesus paid the required debt for our sin, and he defeated the devil and overcame death and hell and opened heaven to us. The message on that first Easter and the message throughout the book of Acts and the message today is that Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross, is risen and he lives forevermore. In Christ, there is forgiveness of sin, life, and salvation. And in Christ, mankind is at peace with God. And how can we believe unless there is a preacher to share the gospel with us? Who will deliver the blessings of the cross and the resurrection to us? Who will baptize our children? Who will forgive our sins and proclaim absolution in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus? Who will teach and preach to us about the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus? Who will administer the Lord's Supper? Who will come to visit us in the hospital when we are sick or at the hour of our death? Brothers and sisters in Christ, have no fear. So that you might receive all of God's gifts in word and sacrament, our Lord instituted the office of the holy ministry. The pastoral office was not created by the early church simply as a means to good order, but our Lord Jesus instituted this office himself as he sent out his apostles and pastors to represent him. And all the pastors who followed the apostles represent Christ for you. They are Jesus's ambassadors. They stand in the stead and by the command of Jesus himself. They speak on his behalf, and they are his co-workers. They are the servants of Christ and the stewards of word and sacrament. And Jesus is the chief shepherd, and the pastors are his under-shepherds. The office of the ministry is Christ's ministry as pastors stand in the stead for Christ. What are the apostles and the called pastors who follow them to do? Well, they are to baptize and to teach all nations. They are to forgive the sins of penitent sinners and retain the sins of the unrepentant. They are to preach repentance, forgiveness of sins, law, and gospel. They are to administer the Lord's Supper. They are to visit and comfort the sick and the dying. They are to speak the truth in love. They are to care for the flock entrusted to their care, not domineering, but leading out of sacrificial love. And Jesus continues to work through the pastor for the sake of his people. The holy ministry and the office of pastor is not about the man who occupies the office. A pastor's daily wear is a black shirt with a tab on the collar to signify that they are servants of Christ. Black is a symbol of penitence and mourning. It is the daily attire of a pastor is to remind him and all those who see him that the pastor lives not for himself, but for the church as her servant and her shepherd. The focus is not on the man, but instead on Christ. This is one of the reasons pastors wear vestments. They cover the sinful man. Jesus is not visibly with us, but he is present in his word and sacraments as the pastor speaks his word and in the stead and by his command. Jesus has not abandoned us, but he works through his word, water, bread, and wine. The blessing of the cross and resurrection comes from the font, it comes from the pulpit and the altar. And Christ uses the mouth of the pastor to teach and to preach, to correct and forgive, to comfort and console, and he uses the hands of the pastor to baptize and feed sinners with his precious body and blood at the supper, and bless his people with his benediction. The pastor is necessary for Christ to continue his work among his people. But the pastoral ministry is not all drudgery. Sure, there's a lot of challenges, a lot of sad days, and the devil always works hard against them. But the pastor also experiences joy. He has joy when a child is baptized, joy when absolution can be spoken to a penitent sinner, joy when catechumens finally start to grasp the catechetical teaching, joy when confirmands receive the Lord's Supper for the first time. There is joy when God's word is faithfully preached and when adult converts are brought to faith in Christ and join the church. There is joy when hymns are beautifully sung in praise and thanksgiving to God. There is joy when we pray together and bear each other's burdens. There is joy when God's word is shared with the dying. There is joy when a Christian dies and faithfully goes before us in the one true faith. Immediately after the resurrection, the disciples were scared and they were hiding. But after Jesus gave them the office of the keys, they became bolder and bolder. By the time we hear of the apostles' actions in the book of Acts, it is clear that they are no longer afraid and they are not scared. The Jewish leaders had warned them not to preach in the name of Jesus, but they did it anyways. The resurrection of our Lord positively affected them. And no longer were they hidden or scared behind locked doors, but they boldly proclaimed the gospel of Christ. And even as the world persecuted the early church, the message of God's love, his mercy and forgiveness spread across the world. God's word, his divine message of repentance and forgiveness of sin in Christ Jesus, made it to the new world, even to here, to the German immigrants in Terre Haute. Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church, Terre Haute, has had 10 faithful pastors since 1858. Several sons of the congregation have gone on to the holy ministry, and she has faithfully trained 32 vicars, well, hopefully 32 vicars, in preparation for the holy ministry. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, we gather on this second Sunday of Easter as God's church, glad that we have heard God's word read and preached. We have sung hymns of praise and thanksgiving together, and we will pray together. We will pray that God would provide a faithful and godly man to be the pastor of this congregation who will shepherd his people and bring the word and the sacraments to this congregation. We pray for a faithful man who will boldly proclaim law and gospel. And above all, we hold fast to the promise of God's peace, which is given us in Christ's death and resurrection, as we confidently receive the daily bread which God has and will provide for his congregation here in Terre Haute. In the name of Jesus, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.